Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, live from Richmond, Virginia. Welcome to What Does the Word Say, a production of DMC Ministries. We teach you how to be authentic in your faith, genuine in your service, and humble in your blessings. We want you to be dynamic, motivated, and Christ-like. We help you make the Word of God real. Be sure to check out our website at www.dmcministries.net to take advantage of the resources we have available. Books, CDs, DVDs, podcasts, and more are there just for you. Links to this and previous shows are one click away, and you can read every edition of our newsletter, The Progressive Walk. Ever wonder what it takes to be dynamic, motivated, and Christ-like? Well, that and much, much more are available on our site, and if we can ever be of service to you, please email us at dmc@dmcministries.net. or give us a call at 804-909-7339. Today we're going to continue our series on the book of John, and we're going to be in chapter 5, and I'm excited about what the Lord is going to reveal to us. If you'd like to be part of this conversation this morning, give us a call at 347-857-1322 or log on to www.blogtalkradio.com/DMC2. And you, too, can be part of the conversation, or you can listen to us online. Hallelujah. Let's see. I think my co-pastor here, my co-host is here. Pastor Godfrey, is that you this morning?
That is me, man of God. Yes, I'm on the line.
Well, good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm doing good, sir. How are you this morning?
Oh, I'm just so blessed I can't be stressed. I understand we have some exciting news about something that's getting ready to happen on Sunday. Is that true?
Yes, sir. Actually, we are to meet with the pastor. I'm to confirm with him tomorrow, and we'll get ourselves rolling, sir.
Amen. So what's the you want to wait until next week to really make it official, or are you ready to go ahead and advertise it now?
I think I'll wait and make official once I'll meet with the pastor. I know he's been away.
Okay.
I'll wait until next week, then we'll make it official.
Amen. Well, we
yes,
are
sir.
Excited about you getting your church started over there on the south side, and we definitely
Amen.
Want to be part of it to help you in any way that we can, and we want
yes.
to broadcast that to everybody that we can come in contact with.
Hallelujah.
The new sheriff in the town. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I just want to also tell you, I talked to Pastor Stephen Marimbe yesterday on Facebook, and he
yes.
is actually going to be in town for a month starting this weekend. I think he's going to be, he's flying into Dulles. I believe it's on Saturday or Sunday. I'm not sure. And
right.
he's going to be around for a week, so we'll have to definitely see if we can hook up with him and do some things with him, because he is an awesome man of God.
Yes. So he's going to be in Dallas for how long?
Well, he flies in Sunday. So he's going to be there for about a month. He's going to be in Fredericksburg.
Yes. Okay.
I'm going to see what I can do about getting down there and maybe picking him up and bringing him back down here for a week or so, and just see how that works out. I think he's attending some kind of a conference, so I'm going to have to find out what that's all about. And,
right. I think he mentioned it while we were there in Uganda.
Yeah, but I think we can work around that, at least get him to spend a little bit of time with us. That's going to be a good thing.
Yes, I believe that would be good. Yes.
Amen. All right, would you do us the honor this morning of praying, and then I'm going to start reading in John chapter 5?
Yes, I will do that. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you. We're so excited about the word, Lord God, that the entrance of your word brings light. We thank you so much for this morning, Lord God. I know you got much prepared for us, Lord God, much in store, Lord God. May your Holy Spirit reveal it to us, Lord God, that we may come to know more of you as we grow deeper in your word. We invite your presence, and we thank you that you're ready with us. We give you praise and glory even for our listeners, that you've opened up their hearts, Lord God, and they are ready to receive the word which is able to save their souls. We thank you for this opportunity, Lord God, in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. All right, we're in John chapter 5, and I'm going to be reading out of the New King James Version. Verse 1 says, after this, there was a feast. Now, in order to find out what after this was, that means we got to go back to John chapter 4 for a second. And we realize here that that in John chapter 4, from what we talked about yesterday, he was healing the nobleman's son. And this is the second sign that Jesus had done when he had come out of Judea into Galilee. And so that's always interesting to realize that the Bible is not really chapter and verse. It's more of a continuous letter, if you will, a continuous document. And so really to get the full context, when you see a therefore or an after this, you need to figure out what the there is there for and why it's after this.
Right.
Oh, well, that did come out real well. But anyway, moving right along. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up into Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, some paralyzed, lame, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water, and then whoever stepped in first after the stirring of the water was made well of whatever disease he had. Now a certain man was there who had an infirmity 38 years, and when Jesus saw him lying here and knew that he had already had been in that condition a long time, he said to him, do you want to be made well? The sick man answered, yes, sir. I have no man to put me in the pool when the water is stirred up, but while I am coming, another steps down before me. And Jesus said to him, rise, take up your bed and walk. And immediately the man was made well, took up his bed and walked. And that day was the Sabbath. And the Jews, therefore, said to him, who was cured, it is the Sabbath. It is not lawful for you to carry your bed. Hallelujah. Now, I want to go back here just for a second and get your thoughts on these first few verses here, Pastor. Go ahead.
Yes. I was looking at this, the name of the pool in the Hebrew. My Bible has a reference that word meaning the house of mercy. Yes, it says that in the Hebrew word, the meaning of Bethesda is mercy. And I was looking at Jesus focusing on this man at this pool called Bethesda, and I believe he must have had mercy on him. And to where you ended, we see that the other religious men were looking at what Jesus has done. And I believe they were more focused on what their tradition says. Their tradition says that, nothing has to be done on the Sabbath. But Jesus had compassion on this man. And that reminds me of David when he was crying out to God, have mercy on me, for I have sinned against you. You only have I. And I look at it that God always looks at us mercifully. And he knows the conditions that we might be going through, because I believe Jesus being in this particular spot, he must have been led by the Spirit, because this man was here for 38 years. Still, he was looking to man, not knowing there is another man, the man Jesus Christ. who looks at him compassionately, mercifully. He takes that again to another one, the blind man who cried out, Son of God, Son of David, have mercy on me. So it has nothing to do with what he can do for himself, or he couldn't pride in, like, you know, I've done this, I've given to the poor, I've done the other. But God looked at him mercifully because he was in a place which is, in the Hebrew tongue, the house of mercy. That's one point that I was looking at.
That's powerful. You know, that reminds me of when I used to ride on the ambulance for life care up in Fredericksburg. We went to the military hospital up there in Bethesda, Maryland. And that was that name, a place of mercy, that just really, really is befitting of that hospital, because when you go in there and you see all the soldiers that have been wounded in battle and the continuing long-term effects of their injuries as they drag on over years, you know, it makes you really, I never thought of it before like that, but this really does make you think of that. And think of the mercy that those soldiers are given by people who really do care about what's going on with them. And that's something that in our day and age now, especially with all of our vets coming back from Afghanistan and Iraq, is something that we absolutely, you know, need to be conscious of, because they have paid, many of them, the ultimate sacrifice, but a lot of them have sacrificed more than we can ever conceive in order to help us. But this just goes to prove to you how cool Jesus is, because he was not moved by man's law or by any particular person. Here's a guy. Now we know that he only did what he saw his father doing. So this was not a random act. This was something that he was told to do. Mm. But it's really exciting to see him operate in this spirit. Walking in here and healing this guy on Sunday, because he's also a God of controversy. You know, the word, everybody talks about peace, but, you know, the word is not necessarily a word of peace. It's sharp than a two-edged sword. It'll divide you right in half.
Mm. That's very true.
So let's see what happens here. The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had made him well. I'm sorry. We should back up to verse 11. He says, let's see. The day was a Sabbath. Yeah, the Jews therefore said to him that he who was cured, it is a Sabbath, it is not lawful for you to carry your bed. And he answered them and said, He who made me well said to me, take up your bed and walk. And then they asked him, well, who is this man who said to you, take up your bed and walk? But the one who was healed did not know who it was, for Jesus had withdrawn, a multitude being in that place. And afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, see, you have been made well. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you. And the man departed, told the Jews that it was Jesus who had made him well. Hallelujah. For this reason, the Jews persecuted Jesus and sought to kill him, because he had done these things on the Sabbath. But Jesus answered them, my Father has been working until now, and I have been working. Therefore, the Jews sought all the more to kill him, because he not only broke the law, or the Sabbath, but he also said that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. And then Jesus, I love this part right here. Then Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly, I say to you, the Son of God, or the Son, can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do. For whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself does, and he will show him greater works than these, that you may marvel. For as the Father raises the dead and gives life to them, even so the Son gives life to whom he will. For the Father judges no one, but has committed all judgment to the Son, that all should honor the Son just as they honor the Father, and he who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father. Glory be to God.
Glory to God.
So you want to make a comment there, and then I'll continue?
There's another point I was looking at. When you're reading in King James, chapter 5 and verse 4. That is where it says, he stepped in the water and he was made whole. There is a repetition of the word made whole. I was also looking at it. And then when you come to verse 6, it says, without make me whole, he was looking for the totality. Then you come to verse 9, immediately the man was made whole. And then I looked at verse 11, and he answered them, he made me whole. And then again, I came to verse 14, and it says, and afterward, Jesus finds them in the temple and said unto him, behold, thou art made whole. And I moved back to 1 Thessalonians, I believe it's chapter 5, verse 23, says, may the God of peace sanctify you wholly, spirit, soul, and body. And so I was looking at what Jesus does, in that he's so concerned about our well-being of our spirit, well-being of our soul. We know in John it says that be in good health and thou prosper as your soul prospers. So Jesus wasn't looking at only the body, because you find that so many times people who have been in different conditions, even when they come out from them, now we can consider the children of Israel for this example, even when they came out of Egypt, still in their mind, mentally, they were still connected to Egypt. They were remembering, oh, we missed on this, Moses, we missed on our fish, we missed on our garlic, the onion. But I believe this, what Jesus wanted to do to this man was to completely make him whole, that he would look at himself differently, forget all about what happened to him. That is the very word that was coming to my spirit as I looked at. Again, you see it in verse 15 of chapter 5. And the man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole. So now he was, you know, completely rebuilt, spirit, soul, and body, in that he saw himself so different, not thinking even what he was then. And this gives me this picture that when we come, look at the man Jesus, our mediator, when we come to him, he makes us whole, that nothing will be missing, nothing will be broken. He puts us back together to what God intended us to be.
That's a powerful word right there, brother.
Hallelujah.
Powerful, powerful word. It almost gets me to want to start preaching. I don't want to do that. But, you know, that's the whole thing about salvation.
Yeah.
The Bible says that old things are passed away and all things, which means all things, have become brand
all
new.
Hallelujah.
And when Jesus does a work in you, I agree with you 100% with everything you just said. When he does a work in you, it's complete. He doesn't leave anything out.
No.
I love that scripture that you read. I think it is in Thessalonians, that he wants you to as your soul prospers, then you will prosper. He says, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in good health.
In good health.
Now, that's not just physical health. That's mental health. That's economical health. That's social health. That's everything. Again, because he's complete. Everything is complete in Jesus.
Right.
And so... When he does something to you or does something for you, it's not a part of a package. It's the whole package.
Exactly.
And,
I think
that's why a lot of times in churches you'll see people that go through the healing line, and every week they're back again for more. And it's almost indicative of this parable of the guy that had this same condition for 38 years and just couldn't get it right. Just couldn't get the circumstances to line up right for him to get what he knew. He knew the healing was there. He believed in that. See? And I believe that's parallel to us. You know, a lot of people believe that there is a God, and they believe in Jesus, but they just haven't done enough, and they haven't put it all together to be able to get into that relationship with him, when in reality...
Right.
There's nothing they can do to get into that relationship. They have to be drawn to that relationship.
That's very true. Yes.
Absolutely. And so once they accept that invitation, and once they're drawn and they actually come into the presence of Jesus, then everything changes. And that it understood, it takes a while for us to, in the flesh, you know, to get lined up and everything. I'm not questioning that. And that's one of the things I think that the church is very intolerant of, is allowing people time and room to grow.
Right.
But they expect everything to happen overnight, and it just doesn't do it that way. But the point is, when Jesus does it, it's done, and there's nothing else that needs to be completed. And, of course, we know that when we fast forward to the end of this where he is crucified, that he ends up back in heaven, and God says, "It is finished."
Yeah. Hallelujah.
Now, based on just this parable alone and evaluating it with that statement, you can really see a tremendous blessing by being on the right side of this thing.
That's very
good. If you're
on
the wrong side of this thing, that's not a good thing. So, hallelujah.
No, it's not.
All right, let's move on here to verse 24. He says, "Most assuredly I say to you," and that word "most assuredly," when that you see that in the Bible, that is a very emphatic statement. That is a very important thing. He's saying this is absolutely extremely important, and you must believe it. Okay?
That's
true. He says, "I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life, and he shall not come to judgment, but was passed from death into life. Most assuredly, I say to you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself, and has given him authority to execute judgment, also because he is the Son of Man. Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming, in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth, those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation." Ooh, I like that. "I cannot myself do nothing as I hear. I judge, and my judgment is righteous, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. Glory be to God." So,
glory to God.
That's an exciting thing right there, to realize that, you know, the potential of what we have available.
Yes. And it's so amazing how the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, I believe, they all work together. Because, you know, it says that the Father has given me all the judgment. Now, but then he says, "I don't seek my own will." And as you read in verse 19, he says, "The Son will do nothing, but he only does what he sees what the Father is doing."
Yeah, amen. Amen. All right, we've got a few more minutes here. Let's see if we can finish this chapter up today. On verse 31, he says, "For if I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. There is another who bears witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesses of me is true. You have sent to John, and he has borne witness to the truth, yet I do not receive testimony from man, but I say these things that you may be saved. He was the burning and shining lamp, and you went willing for a time to rejoice in his light. But I have a greater witness than John's, for the works which the Father has given me to finish, the very works that I do bear witness of me, that the Father has sent me, and the Father himself who sent me has testified of me. You have neither heard his voice at any time nor seen his form, but you do not have his word abiding in you, because whom he sent, him you do not believe. You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and these are they which testify of me, but you are not willing to come to me that you may have life." Hallelujah. Verse 41 says, "I do not receive honor from men, but I know you, that you do not have the love of God in you. I have come in my Father's name, and you do not receive me. If another comes in his own name, him you will receive. How can you believe who receive honor from one another and do not seek the honor that comes from the only God? Do not think that I shall accuse you to the Father. There is one who accuses you, Moses, in whom you trust. For if you believed Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote about me, but if you do not believe his writings, how will you believe my words? Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So that's a powerful statement right there. He's telling them just like it is.
Exactly.
You know, this, he's saying it's not about me. This is all about God. And you don't know me because you don't even believe Moses.
That's right. Because Moses wrote about me.
I mean, for all, everything he wrote was about Jesus. So, I mean, come on.
You remember the scripture we shared about, you know, in some of our broadcasts in the past, that nothing was created without him.
Oh, yeah. That was chapter 1, verse something, but I forget. Yeah. Everything was created was created by him, and nothing was created that wasn't created by him.
Mm-hmm. With the principalities, powers. Mm.
These guys are they say they believe the Bible, but they really don't believe the intent of the Bible. They don't believe the spirit.
Right.
You can't do it in the flesh. You have to do it in the spirit. The spirit of the Bible.
Exactly. And I believe that's what Paul was talking about. He says the letter kills, but it's the spirit that brings life.
Amen. Amen.
Because as we read in verse 39, they were searching these scriptures. They were seeking to get eternal life. But then it says, these are the very same scriptures which testify of me. And they could not believe it because for them they went to the intent of the law. Because as we read of the story of the man that was healed, I mean, the man has been sick for 38 years, and yet they're going to accuse the Lord of the Sabbath itself, and say, no, you cannot do this because this is what Moses told us, that the Sabbath is better part. We are not to do anything. And they forgot that Jesus Christ, he himself is the Lord of this Sabbath that they are talking about. So for them, they were just reading the law and not the Spirit itself. And I believe that's why Jesus says to the next chapter that we'll be reading that the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life.
That's right. That's right. That's exactly where I was going to go. That's absolutely right.
Right.
In some instances or some regards, you really can't blame them because they were trying to be faithful to what they believed. The problem was their belief was flawed because they didn't know.
Right.
And so we go further into the Bible, and it talks about the fact that, you know, it says my people die for lack of knowledge. They have not because they ask not, and when they ask amiss, and how are they going to learn unless they be taught? And how are they taught? Foolishness of preaching.
Mm.
So, I mean, we are getting into some exciting territory here over the next several weeks, and I am really excited about this study. This book, I'm telling you, from front cover to back cover, has totally messed up my life and changed me into something that is just absolutely amazing. So thank you, sir, for your participation today. We love you and appreciate you. We'll be in contact with you.
Thank you, sir. Love
about
you too.
Future events. And ladies and gentlemen, we thank you so much for sharing your time with us today here on What Does the Word Say. Be sure to join us next Tuesday at 10 o'clock for Chapter 6 of John. And we continue to try to help you make the Word of God real in your life. So if we can be of any help to you, check out our website at www.dmcministries.net or call us at 804-909-7339. Until then, have a blessed day.